1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
This hour, we're going to take calls from our listeners, from our fans, people who've been with us for a while. Maybe you haven't been with us for a very long time, but it's the only time the last few weeks where we've actually opened the phones up. It's not the only time, but it was. It's really something that I've not done as the show has changed and evolved, and we've always felt really after. You know, the experience with taking just random phone calls. The only way to take a phone call on this show is the way we do it, which is to interact with these characters and their callers who don't really know what's going on. But, and so we sort of left that whole aspect of talk radio behind, which is, okay, let's take a call. But in the last couple of weeks, last 3 weeks, I promised that I would give you an opportunity if you'd like to say hello. So we're going to do that. And our last broadcast, the last live broadcast of the Phil Hendry Show, will be on Friday night, the 23rd, is that? Friday's the 23rd. And then after that, man, the only way really to listen to our show would be online at www.philhendryshow.com, where you can access the archives of our show. And as we progress through the summer, there will be older and older pieces of material that you'll hear. There will be more and more pieces of material that you'll hear. Eventually, you will hear every single show. Every single show will be available to you anyway that we did nationally. I believe, got our hands on some early KFI stuff from 1996, 97, 98, 99. We also, I think, may have one or two full shows from the Miami days, not just the bits. We get a lot of Miami bits, but whole shows, I'm not so sure we have. We've got full hours of Minneapolis, I think. In fact, I know we have some full hours from Minneapolis. It's all analog tape. And then from the Atlanta and Ventura days, we'll try to get as deep as we can there. But we're trying to just find all this stuff, put it online, make it available to you. And then we'll expand the website and it'll evolve differently. It won't be just a radio website anymore. It'll be a website that deals with all of the projects that we get involved in, whether they are TV or film or book or speaking engagements or... If I'm at a fashion show, if I decide I want to go into modeling, if I want to become a runway model, if I become a professional escort, I'll have the number there. If I decide that I'm going to just do infomercials, say I'm just the guy who demonstrates the vinyl cleaner not being flammable, and they just spray it on my face and throw a match at it, and it doesn't burn. Thanks, Phil. Thank you. See, Phil. And then I just go off. Whatever it is we're doing, we will keep you abreast of it. And I can tell you this, though, we're planning on doing some interesting things. Okay, now let me tell you what I got here. I've got notebooks, show notes, prep notes, ideas. And what did I do when I had an idea or when I wanted to prep the show? Back before I really had an office and I had a computer, since we've been doing our show nationally, I've worked pretty much on a computer. I did use a computer intermittently when I was in Miami, but not mostly from about 1990 until, say, around 1999, I kept notebooks. I have in front of me about 7 notebooks. Now, I'm going to give these away in order of size. Like, I've got this little tiny one here. It's like any notebook you'd see that's sort of pocket size. And I autographed the front of it, and I wrote down show notebook 2000. That means the notes that I see in here are from the year 2000. Now, there's only about, there couldn't be more than maybe a half, maybe a dozen pages of notes. The rest of them are blank. There's a few notes on the back. And right in the middle looks to be the score of a gin game that my daughter Catherine played with her grandfather. I could tell it's Catherine's writing. There's also a little scribble thing. So in other words, it's simply something that anybody's a fan of the show might want to have. I can read you some of the notes. One of them says here, try table on the phone fat test. McDonald's ice creaminator. Starbucks two kids working. Maria's mammogram. Ted Bell, I hope the American people don't think they did this. He's paid more taxes. He's more responsible. So who knows what this stuff is about, but you can take a look at it. So we're going to give this one away first, then I've got, another one to give, and so on and so forth, until we give all of them away. Was I clear there? All right. Now, we'll take some phone calls here, and we're going to ask questions. We have a series of about, 20 or so questions. Do we have names of the people that are on the phone here, Michelle? Do you want me to just go to a line with no name on it? What would you like me to do? Are you on the air right now? Is she on the air? Go ahead. Say it again. Say it again.
Just ask the question, and then we'll just answer. I'll flip through the lines to see who's got the correct answer, because I don't want to just go to somebody blinded.
Somebody blinded? Blinded by the light. Something about rake up the douche or something. Okay. That's what I used to think it was. Blinded by the light. Break up my douche. Okay, so here's the question. This five-time Emmy-winning actress was not in on the joke when she called into the Phil Hendry Show in 1999 and spoke with Margaret Gray. You got to be a Stone fan of this show to know this one. This five-time Emmy-winning actress was not in on the joke when she called in to the Phil Hendry Show in 1999 and spoke with Margaret Gray. Who is the actress that called the show and spoke with Margaret? And I remember the conversation Margaret had with her. It had something to do with someone being wrapped around a bottle. Someone who had just been wrapped around a bottle. Five-time Emmy-winning actress who was not in on the joke when she called into the Phil Hendry Show in 1999 and spoke with Margaret Gray. Let's go over here to Steve. Steve, what is your answer, sir?
My answer is Betty White.
That is not correct. It's not correct. We thought Betty White had called the show once, but it's not her. Thank you so much, Steve.
You're welcome.
Get out of here. All right. She is a five-time... Betty White didn't win five Emmys, did she? Five-time Emmy-winning actress was not in on the joke when she called into the Phil Hendry Show in 1999 and spoke with Margaret Gray. And she is she's a great actress. I like her a lot, and I had an opportunity. Seriously, I had an opportunity to actually do a little socializing with her, but at the time I was, how can I say this? Well, I'm a married man. All right, let's go over to. Is this another Steve or the same Steve?
Different Steve.
Hey, Steven, who do you think this is?
It's B. Arthur.
No, incorrect. Not B. Arthur. Everyone's answering with the stock. Actress joke answers that we give. It's not B. Arthur, and it's not Betty White. Five-time Emmy-winning actress who was not in on the joke when she called into the Phil Hendry Show in 1999 and spoke with Margaret Gray. I could give hints, but I don't want to give hints, man. Either you know this or you don't. Either you're a Stone fan of the show. I ain't giving away my notebooks to just I'm not throwing this notebook into just any garbage can. Well, what we have to do, this is not a very good idea, just waiting for people to... Oh, here's somebody here. Brian, go ahead. Brian, what is your answer?
Florence Henderson.
It is not Florence Henderson. Thank you, though. Five-time Emmy-winning actress was not in on the joke when she called into the Phil Hendry Show in 1999 and spoke with Margaret Gray. All right, should we go to a break? We'll go to a break. We'll come back. We'll do a flashback. So far, no one has the correct... Where do I have the caller? I'm gonna have to just start taking names, and I'll just start taking the calls. Let me take the call. All right. Let me take the call. Yeah, I know, but you don't have her on hold. All right. Let's take a break. Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You're just one more son of a bitch in a long line of son of bitches.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, let me go over here to Sean. Sean?
Yes.
This five-time Emmy-winning actress was not in on the joke when she called into the Phil Hendry Show in 1999 and spoke with Margaret Gray. Who is it?
I'm positive it's Cloris Leachman.
You're right, it was Cloris Leachman. Yeah, you're there, dude. And Cloris Leachman's nice lady, but she talked to Margaret at great length about how Mary Tyler Moore... Cloris didn't know it, but Mary Tyler... Margaret told Cloris that Mary Tyler Moore was still on the juice, and Cloris was very shocked by that. And just, you know, other fun things, other moments of fun with alcoholism. So, Sean, why don't you hang on? We'll get your stuff. I have this little notebook, our show notes from the year 2000.
All right.
All right, dude?
Thanks.
You're very welcome. How long have you been listening to the show, man?
Since 2003.
Oh, okay. Well, this is from 2000. So you can go read through the notes and see what you missed.
All right, thanks, Phil.
Okay, line one is Sean. Now we'll move on to our next question. And I tell you what I'm going to do in between... the time I ask the question and the time we take calls on it, we're going to play a flashback. But here is the question that I want you guys to consider while we go through our flashback here. What film did Phil pull Bobby Dooley's frequently spoken line, "Are you for real?" from? What movie And I mentioned it on the air a couple of times. Did I pull Bobby Dooley's frequently spoken line, "Are you for real?" from? Now, that's the question. The next notebook I'm going to give away is one from the year 1999. Again, this is a rather thin, it's a blue, kind of a pale blue cover. Not more than, I'd say, 15 or 17 pages, because I ripped a lot of pages out of here. But there are notes on rants and Y2K, nasal spray and jock straps. This may be the bit where Jay Santos was doing nasal swabs on people. Because I've got here, I'll read you some of the notes. Y2K stuff is, not Y2K stores are going out of business. Nasal spray and jock strap cases of the stuff. What is the preoccupation with the end of the world? I think I got this idea about Jay returning his case of KY jelly after he didn't get raped by the Road Warrior. So those are notes having to do with that bit. Here's one on Clara and school violence. Just a bunch of stuff. This is all from our show notes of 1999. Not a lot of them, but a rather thin little volume, okay? So the next winner gets this one, Michelle. All right, so our number 1-800-449-8686. And in the meantime, let's play a flashback. This comes to us from Walter G. Walter says, "Hey, Phil, please play the bit where Margaret Gray goes to the Tookie Williams funeral. She was there with the Olsen twins. Dave Coulier and Mike Farrell collapsed in her arms." Who? Coulier. Oh, Coulier. "She was there with the Olsen twins and Dave Coulier and Mike Farrell collapsed in her arms at Tookie Williams' funeral?" Yes. I got to hear this. Here it is. Margaret Gray.
You know, I was saying there a second ago, I think that the justice system finally worked. It's just 25 years too late. And
what does that mean, 25 years too late?
There's an appeal. They should have done it 25 years ago when he committed the murders.
There's an appeal process that, by law, he's entitled to. Are you saying we should get rid of the appeal process?
I understand that, but, you know, it's like, what does it have to do with President Bush? President Bush has nothing to do with this.
President Bush has done more wrong for this country. He could have really done something right by being there.
Well, we all do wrong. We do wrong every day. You do wrong, I do wrong. Does that,
is that
means to keep a man alive that killed somebody that was...
I didn't say keep him alive. I said President Bush could have been there at the funeral.
Well, the way you talk, you sound like you wish he was still, we were still paying for his room and board.
Well, what good did it do, killing him?
It got rid of a freaking murderer.
That's right.
Well, it got rid of a murderer. How do you know he murdered?
Because he got 26 years worth of appeals, that's how. Because the justice system, what, did the DNA not prove out or something, man? Did they have the wrong blood drops? LAPD must...
Do you like the fact that your tax dollars and the money you earn is paid to keep him alive and to feed him and for all of his appeals?
Look, Tim, Gary Coleman said it best when he said that there are...
Gary Coleman said it best.
I'm sorry, Phil. Excuse me. Isn't Gary black? Yes, he is, and you're not. As I was saying, Gary Coleman said it best when he said, "Forget about whether the bull is blind. Just load the cart."
I think you're the one who's blind, ma'am.
How am I blind when I look at 500 years of slavery? And that
God.
500 years of slavery. And you're white?
Yes,
we're all slaves in today's day and age.
Listen to you. That's very convenient, isn't it?
Well, it's the truth.
No, it isn't the truth.
You're a slave to your job, aren't you?
No, it isn't the truth. You get paid. You don't know what slavery is. Slavery is when someone tells you where to go, how to do it, and what to do it, unless you're married to the wrong woman. And I'll tell you something else. George Bush, sitting there in the White House,
Yeah, what is it with Bush?
Because Bush had a golden opportunity. He had a golden opportunity, and he turned around, looked at it in the bowl, and pulled the chain.
Hey, ma'am, I'd like to tell you something. My sister-in-law was murdered 10 years ago.
And you're just now coming up with that?
No, I'm just telling you. She was murdered 10 years ago, and they just put the kid to he was just executed in Oregon, and he would happen to have been the sheriff's son who murdered my sister-in-law. And, you know, it couldn't have come
Oregon,
at a better time.
Oregon,
10 years
that
our family had to suffer and wait and listen
wait
to
minute,
his appeals
Oregon,
and his excuses.
Oregon doesn't have capital punishment.
What's that?
Oregon doesn't have capital punishment.
Oregon does have capital punishment.
I thought that they, it's humane, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's humane. Yeah, I think it's humane if we're getting rid of them.
No, but the way they put them to death in Oregon, how do they do it?
How do you think they ought to do it?
I think
they ought to take them out in the public square and do the same thing that they did to their victims.
No,
and
in
watch,
Oregon,
just how much the crime rate goes down. I wouldn't have a problem pulling the trigger.
I'd
sleep at night.
They do it in a very humane way. They drown you or something like that. I don't know.
They drown you.
Well, they don't.
All right, look at... Tim, thank you very much for your call.
I want to say to Tim, first of all, Tim, I'm very sorry to hear about your sister. When did it happen?
It was 10 years ago.
It was 10 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. and the man was executed. I think I think you're drowned in Oregon.
All right. Thank
no, you're
me.
Not drowned. They was hanging up until a few years ago, or you know, 5-6 years ago. They used to hang. They had another guy that fought the, appealed it. Because he was so huge that he was afraid that when the rope came tight, it would rip his head off. So he actually got out of the execution.
Well, thank God.
Well, that's ridiculous. Well, what did they do? They wound up just icing
him. Ended up sending him to Walla Walla in Washington and did lethal injection.
Legal injection?
Yeah. Where, you know, lethal injection where they...
What do they hang you by?
Excuse me?
What do they hang you by?
They hang you by a rope.
Yeah, but what part of your body?
Your neck.
Your neck.
Well, I find that very inhumane, and I have campaigned for
legal drowning.
Well, it's
inhumane if these people can kill these people, and we've got to pay for them, for their meals, their room and board, and pay for their appeals.
This jive, all these people. And I'll tell you one other thing, Margaret.
Well, I speak for a lot of black people.
That's the thing that bugs me. How do you know you speak for a lot of black? And I'll tell you something right now. Tookie Williams is a guy. Tell me, the whole black African-American community is a monolithic voice that everybody was against Tookie Williams going down for the count? You can't tell me that.
Well, there were a hell of a lot of black people there.
Well, good. Fine.
According to you, there were a
freaking
lot of white
hockey
people
game
too.
What'd you say, Tim?
According to her before, there was a hell of a lot of white people too, supposedly.
Yeah, there were a great many white people. I told you, Mike Farrell collapsed into my arms. And
I'm sure it's just been a rough day for Mr. Look
well,
at Tim.
We'll read about that in your article. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you very much, Tim.
You know, I like the way you stack the phone calls against me.
I'm not stacking anything against you. What do you mean Tim Farrell collapsed into your arms?
He was exhausted. He'd been up for days trying to save Tookie's life. He was exhausted. And he asked me, do you have any? I said, I've got a little in an envelope. I mean,
There's our flashback. Margaret Gray coming back from Tookie's funeral. I like Margaret. You know, in Oregon, they do a very humane and very earth-friendly execution. They drown you. All right, the question before we went to the flashback, to win the second of 7... Phil Hendry show notebooks. This is a show notebook from 1999. Now, what is that? This is where I took down notes. What am I going to do in the show tonight? They're very screwy. They're all messed up. It's what you think it is. I've got down here Chastity Meteor. What is that? Susan Long, Sally Dugan. There's a bunch of names here. Janice McKernan. Her husband is a fireman. Luann Rogers. It was some kind of a bit I was doing where there's a whole bunch of female names. Todd is surprisingly single, and I feel that's fascinating. That's a funny line. I don't know what's from. All right, let's go ask. Let's see. I have Dan. Dan?
Phil.
All right, and the question is, what film did Phil pull Bobby Dooley's frequently spoken line, "Are you for real?" from?
Peggy Sue Got Married.
Peggy Sue Got Married. Yeah, this is when that chick looks at her and goes, "Are you for real?" and throws popcorn at her ass.
Wait.
Dan, I got my show notebook. It's just this little, thin, beaten-up piece of crap here.
It'll still sell on eBay.
Yeah, that's what I figured half of you guys would do. this is a 1999 show notebook. There's only about, it can't even be 10 pages in here, but it's yours for knowing the answer to that question, brother.
Awesome.
All right? So hang on, man.
Sweet.
Thanks for listening. Okay, so there you go, Mark. Put down the name Dan on that thing. I don't think we have, I'll give the next question, and then you guys think about it through the break. We're giving away our show notebooks, and I'm giving them away in order of the size of these things. Now, the next smallest one here, I didn't even look at this. Well, I got one here, and I will tell you when we come back what year it's from. Here's the question. Before Bob Green owned the Fraser Foods chain of grocery stores, he was a manager at this restaurant. What's the name of the restaurant? Before Bob Green owned the Fraser Foods chain of grocery stores, he was a manager at this restaurant. What is the name of the restaurant? Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Giving away the Phil Hendry Show notebooks. This one's pretty significant. I haven't even looked at this one, so I'm going to put a little special, pay a little special attention to this during the break. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You're a buttlog with legs.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we're giving away another show notebook, and these are notebooks that I kept show notes in during a period of time. I don't have everything. The oldest one I have is from 1993. I know that when I worked in Atlanta in 92, I didn't put everything down in a notebook. They were just scraps of paper. When I was in Ventura, I typed all my notes and threw them away eventually. But there was an intermittent period when I was in Minnesota, and then when I got to L.A. in 96, when I kept notebooks, And this one is a 1999, a book, a bunch of notes from the show prep in 1999. And there are references in here to President Clinton having sex with chicks. And President Clinton, here's a note here. President Clinton has blanked a whole bunch of women because he is powerful. He needs this satisfaction. Someone says that the president may have something, something. I can't even read my own writing, so good luck. Larry Grover, if he is the most powerful man, why you have sex and it isn't for procreation? This is when Larry Grover was hated Clinton and wanted to get him out of the White House. All right, the question for this notebook, this 99 notebook, before Bob Green owned the Fraser Foods chain of grocery stores, he was a manager at this restaurant, and I'm going to go to a caller here on line three. Brett?
Yes.
Okay, man, the question before us, the restaurant that Bob Green was a manager at, what's the name of it?
Windows on the Boulevard.
Cool. How do you know that?
I remember the bit when he got stiff for drinks by the Catholic Men's Club.
The Catholic Men's Club stiffed him?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Isn't that also the place where he would, if you were a gentleman with a date, he'd say, if you said to him, I'd like a twist of lemon, he'd dose up your girlfriend's drink so she'd get good and hammered?
Yeah, beautiful. That's it.
All right, brother. Hold on. Brett, okay. You're the winner of our 99 show notebook. Hold on. Thanks a lot, man. And what I do is I autograph the front of it. And then I put down show notebook, and I write down the year, and then that's all it is. I mean, it's no big deal. That's why we're giving it away for free. Although, these, like that last guy, it'll be on eBay before the sun sets. It'll be on eBay, and some guy will pay for his kid's college education. How do I know? But I got one very cool thing I'm putting on eBay. It's the official Phil Hendry show sign. It's got the big, I don't know, do you think, if cats want this stuff, don't you think they'll bid for that? I'm also going to be bidding, I don't know if this may be in bad taste, but if you're a woman and you want to carry my child, please write. All right, here is the next question, and our number is 1-800-449-8686. I like this one. This friend of Phil Hendry stood 13 inches high, was a great humanitarian, a cigar smoker, and a professional golfer. This friend of Phil Hendry's stood 13 inches high, was a great humanitarian, a cigar smoker, and a professional golfer. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll see if we got the answer for that one. And this now will be for the next notebook on the list. This is a 1998 Phil Hendry show notebook, and this thing has got pages that are falling out of it. And I'm just reading some of the pages. Cooking segment, craft segment, book segment. So this is when I was doing, like, those segment bits. Faye Dunaway, Julie Christie, I don't know what the hell that is. She's talking with Shaquille O'Neal about Liberace. And let's see what else. Some notes in here about Joe. The name Joe appears a lot on this one page. Joe, a QVC segment. Crappy stuff that she is selling, crap from her friends who live down the street, and it's for charity. Joe has some mentally retarded Quaaludes, Valium, and Quaaludes. Joe always says she's... things are controversial. I guess it was a new character I was playing with, Joe. All right, so the question is, this is a friend of Phil's. He stood 13 inches high, was a great humanitarian, a cigar smoker, and a professional golfer. We have a correct answer? Well, how about them? How about them things? Teresa.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Where are you at in Texas?
Austin.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Good place.
You at the U of T?
I am, actually.
Now, Teresa, the answer to the question, the friend of mine who was 13 inches high, a great humanitarian, a cigar smoker, and a professional golfer, what was his name?
Bob Swain.
Bob Swain. Bob, by the way, I dig Bob because he actually achieved a little bit of immortality. Don and Mike were on their show for weeks asking, does anybody know about this Bob Swain character? So, Teresa, are you winning this for a boyfriend? Yeah, that's what I figured. Is he sitting there right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Why didn't he have the guts to come on the line himself?
Okay, hold on.
No, I don't want to talk to him. I just want to tell you this much. If he's like that before you marry him, he'll be that way after you marry him.
That's all right.
Uh-huh.
He's shy.
All right. So you hang on. We're going to get your boyfriend's information, Teresa,
all right,
okay?
Thanks.
All right, you're welcome. What is it with you guys, Eddie? Get your wives and girlfriends calling in. So that's to Teresa's boyfriend in Tejas. All right. All right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. I've got three more notebooks to give away tonight, and the last that we're going to give away is our 1993. This is from Minneapolis, and it's actually the coolest of them all. It's a hardback. It's one of those books that you buy in a bookstore, but it's got blank pages, right? So you can buy it and write in it, but the cover of it is really cool. This has got a Matisse cover. I was walking into the University of Minnesota back in Minneapolis in 93 with this friend of mine, and she insisted that I buy this. I said, well, what am I going to buy it for? And she said, put your show notes in there. Put your ideas in there. And I guess that's where it all started. So that'll be the last one we give away for the night. And in the meantime, we'll take a break. We'll be back with let me give a question here, okay, so that you guys can think about it during the period. This is a Phil Hendry Show trivia for our show note thing. This character of Phil's is the only known survivor. Nah, I don't know about that one. What was Jeff Dowder's name before Phil brought the show to Los Angeles? That's a toughie. What was Jeff Dowder's name before Phil brought the show to Los Angeles? In other words, what was Jeff's name in Miami? All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The last gasp before the death of radio. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well, that's great. So they got a thing on crawling across the screen. L.A. due for major earthquake. Okay, thank you. What do you want me to do about that? Should I move, get a better earthquake kit, or what? Build bigger hospitals? What do you want us to... Well, we just want you to know there's going to be a big one. Well, thank you. And because if it hit and we knew about it, we didn't tell you, you'd be all pissed off at us. Right, but now I'm pissed off at you for creating paranoia. Well, then what the hell do you want me to do? Just shut down your freaking your seismograph and go pound sand. How about that? Go pound sand down a rat hole, man. L.A. due for another big one. Yeah, I got your big one hanging. All right, it's time now for another question. Now, we gave you this at the beginning of the last break, but let me just restate it. What was Jeff Dowder's name before Phil brought the show to Los Angeles? This was essentially the name of Jeff Dowder before we were in L.A., which was down in Miami. And this is good for our a show notebook that has 1997 notes in it. Everything from Killdozer. I did a whole thing on Killdozer one night. Roots. Outer Limits. Some bit about swords. Don't want to know what that's about. There's notes in here. There's a whole page on John Wayne. I know I did a bit one night where I went through John Wayne's movies on IMDb. And I said, just take the name John Wayne out of these and imagine that this is gay porn. And I just read the list of the films, and that was good for about 30 seconds of really bad radio. So now let's go over to our caller here on the line. Ian?
Yes, Phil.
How are you, man? Where you at? You're in New York State, right?
I am in Hoboken, New Jersey, right across Manhattan.
All right, brother. Here, the question is, what was Jeff Dowder's name before I brought the show out west?
Sundown.
True enough. Yes. I didn't know that, man. Did you hear the show in Miami in the days?
I did. I'm originally from Fort Lauderdale. Used to grow up listening to you on Neil Rogers and Hank Goldberg on IOD.
There it is. Only Hank wasn't on IOD. He was on QAM. But
that's right. He's still there now.
No, that's totally fine. So you're the winner, man.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll get this out to you. And when these things start popping up on eBay, you guys remember me. Oh, yeah.
And by the way, why never New York for syndication? I was amazed you could never get out here.
Well, if I answered that question honestly, I imagine I'd be pulled off the air. No, I'm kidding. Well, you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. Politics. Seriously.
Yeah.
In other words, the major talk stations in New York, the talk stations that you want to be on in New York, are Infinity owned.
Okay.
The company that I work for is Clear Channel. Now, you getting my drift?
Yes.
Now, if you listen to Infinity-owned radio stations, you don't hear a whole hell of a lot of Clear Channel programming. In fact, I dare say you hardly hear any. I'm actually on a couple of Infinity stations, one in Phoenix, I think one in San Diego.
Okay.
But it was difficult for us to get out there, and it never really did make any sense. They should have given us a shot, but I think the reason mostly was that, one of the reasons why I'm leaving this business, man, is that this show is a little tough to handle for some people. Let me put it that way, okay? It's a tough show, man, to move. You know, it's a very tough show to move, and it takes some people that we don't have yet in the business. But who knows? One day when somebody grows up and becomes president. But in the meantime, man, you can have this notebook.
I do appreciate it. I got to tell you, I've turned a lot of people on your show out here just on the iPod. And
that's
when
cool.
I'm on the subway downstairs in the morning, listening on the way to work, dude, I'm laughing my ass off.
Hey, that's cool. Do you take the Hoboken Express?
The pass train right in on the Hudson.
There it is, man. Okay, brother, I will send this out to you. Thanks so much.
Phil, I'm going to miss you, buddy. Enjoy.
Well,
good luck.
Not a problem, man. Stay with us on the website. Thanks for calling.
Will do.
All right. There's Ian in Hoboken, New Jersey, and he wins the Phil Hendry Show Notebook of 1997. You just pass that along there to you, Mark. And now, well, I've still got two to give away. It's going to have to do this fast. The next one is from 1996. Now we're going way back. I got it written here, the first L.A. notebook, KFI 1996. And in it, I see the name Jay Albright. Now, let me tell you that Jay is a good man. He's not a good man anymore. He's a good woman now. That's right. Jay had a sex change. So I think I started off my time in L.A. I think these are the actual notes of my very first week of shows in Los Angeles. So the question that will go along with that one is the following. Brad Rifkin wanted to create an advertisement showing Elian Gonzalez drifting in the Atlantic, saying that his mother wouldn't have drowned if she'd floated in on one of these. Brad Rifkin wanted to create an advertisement showing Elian Gonzalez drifting in the Atlantic, saying his mother wouldn't have drowned if she had floated in on one of these. What's the answer? We'll go to a break, and then we'll take your answers at 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I will smother that boy in a pair of D cups.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I'm going to go. We have a winner on this question, which is Brad Rifkin wanted to create an advertisement showing Elian Gonzalez drifting in the Atlantic, saying his mother wouldn't have drowned if she'd floated in on one of these. And on the line is Morgan. And Morgan, what is the answer? What did Elian Gonzalez's mother, what should she have floated in on, man?
She should have floated in on a Michelin.
On a Michelin tire, right. So that was Brad Griffin's big idea, and of course that just went to hell. You're the winner of it's a 1996 show notebook. It's actually pretty cool because it's the very first week of shows that I did. I can see all the notes in there of Jay Albright was he's still a very good radio consultant who actually had a sex change operation. And I ran into her at a convention. I swung around, and here was this guy that I used to know as a guy, and he had long hair and he had a dress on. And I remember I almost fainted.
Inspirational story.
Yeah, it's very inspirational. So listen, hang on, dude. We already got your information, so we're going to just go ahead and mail that out to you. Thanks for calling, brother.
All right, later.
Congratulations. All right. Finally, the 1993 one. This is the one I was telling you about. This is my show notebook from Minneapolis. So we're going back 13 years, and on the very first page, it says August 5th, 1993, no more lawyer jokes. All right, here's the question. Which character held the Brokeback Mountain Olympics? Give me the answer to that. Which character held the Brokeback Mountain Olympics? Now, this show notebook, I was walking through Minneapolis with my friend Fariba, and she said, get that. So we bought it. And that day, August 5th, 1993, was a Monday, I think. It says here, gambler who makes up stupid poker games. Twos are wild. Buy a seventh card for a dollar. Kings are wild unless it's a high hand. And then I have another note here about consumers are openly rejected. Cable TV, drive-through restaurants, sporting events, music concerts, buying radios and televisions. You don't get what you want. Telephones, fax machines. I don't know what this is, but obviously I'm not meant to know what it is. Only the day that I wrote it did I know what it was. But this is probably the most organized of all the notebooks. It has August 5th, 1993, August 6th, 1993. Margaret Selb loves to walk around Lake Calhoun and loves to see the people who are enjoying the outdoors. Certainly one of the things to see is the wildlife, the ducks, and the gulls, but to see some of the people who like to see the gulls and the ducks and the geese, and they feed these animals, and they are on an ego trip. Margaret was at Lake Calhoun and saw the many people playing God and distributing food to the ducks. Her name was Margaret Selb, dude, not Margaret Grace. Selb. Now that's Miami. Who's this cat? Tim? Oh, okay. Hey, Tim.
Hello, Phil.
Hey, man. So the question is, which character held the Brokeback Mountain Olympics?
That answer is Bob Green.
Bob Green. He had women. He had the bananas before he put condoms on them.
Yes.
He had women. You know, it was just all in fun and very relaxing time trying to get those babies down.
Of course, man.
So you are the winner of this Phil Hendry Show Notebook, 1993. I'm going to really be sad to see this go, man.
I'm very honored to take it. I definitely
You're a
am.
Lying mother. You're going to sell
no,
it? God,
no,
are you
going
to sell
it's going
it?
On Hendrypedia.
Dude, are you serious?
Yeah, I'm. This is bull haircut again.
Okay, man, this is really very well. I mean, I can actually read the notes in here, so I think you're going to have a good time deciphering this crap.
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
August 15, 1993. The last date entered in here is September 21st, 1993. Women looking at people's asses, she was looking at my rear end. I'm getting tired of being treated like a piece of meat.
I can't tell you how tired I am personally.
All right, brother. Hang on here, man. Did you get bull haircut stuff? Okay, dude, I'll be talking with you. We'll be sending this out to you.
Right on, Phil. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Right. What? Bull haircut. Dude. Dude's got more of my stuff now. Address it to bull haircut. Yeah. Hey, you know what, Tim? We're just going to address it to bull haircut, see if it gets to you. And if it doesn't, then... All right, kids, we'll see you tomorrow night. Last two shows, The Phil Hendry Show, tomorrow and Friday night. And we'll have some other fun things to do. The Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget our website, www.philhendryshow.com.
1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show. Skull-numbing doucheness.